Chapter 6, Failure is Data, Not Drama, The Process versus Results Revolution. The Losing Winner and the Winning Loser. Annie Duke tells this story. Two players get all their money in preflop. Player A has pocket aces. Player B has pocket fives. The flop comes 5-7-2 rainbow. Player A loses $500. Player B wins $500. And who made the better decision? If you answered player A, congratulations. You understand the difference between process and results. If you answered player B, you're thinking like 90% of poker players, and it's costing you a fortune. This is the fundamental mental revolution that separates elite players from everyone else. The ability to evaluate decisions independently from outcomes. It sounds simple, but it requires rewiring decades of conditioning that taught us results are what matter. Results are what happened. Process is what should have happened. Elite players optimize for process and let results take care of themselves. Amateur players optimize for results and wonder why their process keeps breaking down. The outcome independence revolution. Most people live in what I call outcome prison. Every decision gets judged by its immediate result. Good outcome means good decision. Bad outcome means bad decision. This creates a psychological prison where you're constantly at the mercy of variance. Outcome independence is the ability to feel equally good about a well-made decision, whether it wins or loses. It's the difference between being a professional and being a gambler. The two types of poker players, results-oriented players, judge decisions by outcomes, get emotional after bad beats, change strategy based on recent results, focus on session profit loss, think variance is skill-related. Process-oriented players, judge decisions by information available at the time. Stay calm regardless of outcomes. Stick to proven strategies through variance. Focus on decision quality over time. Understand variance is mathematically inevitable. The irony? Process-oriented players get better results because they're not focused on results. The four levels of decision quality. Not all decisions are created equal. Understanding the hierarchy of decision quality helps you focus your improvement efforts where they matter most. Level 1. Random decisions. No systematic thought process. Pure impulse or gut feeling without mathematical or logical foundation. I felt like bluffing, or I had a hunch he was weak. Characteristics. No consistent logic. Purely emotional or intuitive. Can't be replicated or improved. Completely dependent on luck. Level 2. Results-based decisions. Strategy based on what worked recently rather than what works long-term. I 3-bet light last time and it worked, or I folded pocket jacks to aggression and they had aces. Characteristics, pattern recognition based on small sample sizes. Strategy changes based on recent outcomes. Inconsistent application. Vulnerable to variance swings. Level 3, theory-based decisions. Decisions based on mathematical principles, game theory, or proven concepts. I'm 3-betting here for balance or pot odds support a call. Characteristics, logically consistent, can be explained and replicated, based on mathematical principles, independent of recent results. Level 4, adaptive theory decisions, theory-based decisions that adjust for opponent-specific factors and game dynamics. Normally I'd check here for balance, but this opponent folds to aggression too much. Characteristics, sophisticated integration of theory and exploitation, opponent-specific adjustments, dynamic based on changing conditions. Optimal blend of GTO and exploitative play. The data collection mindset. Every poker session is a data collection opportunity. Every hand is an experiment. Every decision is a hypothesis test. This mindset transforms losing sessions from emotional disasters into valuable learning experiences. The 5-question post-session review. After every session, ask yourself these 5 questions. 1. What decisions am I most confident about? Identify your strongest plays to reinforce correct patterns. 2. What decisions am I least confident about? Identify study priorities and knowledge gaps. 3. What surprised me about opponent behavior? Update your player models and assumptions. 4. What patterns am I noticing in my own play? Spot developing leaks before they become expensive. 5. What would I do differently with perfect information? Learn from results without being results-oriented. The hand history revolution. Most players review hands wrong. They focus on hands they lost and try to figure out how to win them. This is backwards. The right way to review. 1. study your biggest wins. Make sure you extracted maximum value. 2, study your close decisions. Improve your marginal spots. 3, study your mistakes, but focus on the decision process, not the outcome. 4, study opponent patterns. Look for exploitable tendencies. 5, study your emotions. Notice when feelings influence decisions. The variance paradox, why bad players get lucky. Here's a counterintuitive truth. Bad players experience more luck than good players. Not because they're actually luckier, but because they make more decisions where luck is the primary determining factor. Bad player decision pattern. Calls with weak hands, gets lucky when they hit. Bluffs in bad spots, gets lucky when opponent folds. Plays loose, gets lucky with speculative hands. Makes mathematical mistakes, sometimes gets bailed out. Good player decision pattern. Makes mathematically correct decisions, results are more predictable. Plays tight ranges, less dramatic wins and losses. Avoids marginal spots, fewer miracle outcomes. Follows proper bankroll management, more consistent results. The paradox. Bad players create more situations where dramatic luck can occur, so they have more memorable lucky stories. Good players create fewer dramatic situations, so their success looks less lucky, even though it's more sustainable. The tilt equation, expectation versus reality. Tilt happens when reality diverges from expectation. Understanding this equation helps you manage tilt proactively instead of reactively. Tilt, Baksh, expected outcome, actual outcome times emotional investment. Tilt prevention strategies, lower expectations. Expect variance, don't hope for consistency. Plan for bad beats, don't be surprised by them. Assume opponents will get lucky, don't get angry when they do. Reduce emotional investment. Focus on process metrics, not monetary results. Track decision quality, not session profit. Celebrate good decisions, regardless of outcomes. Increase variance understanding. Study probability and statistics. Run Monte Carlo simulations. Keep detailed records to see long-term patterns, the three types of failure. Not all failures are created equal. Understanding the different types of failure helps you respond appropriately to each one. Type 1, execution failure. You knew the right play but didn't execute it properly. Maybe you meant to bet $100 but accidentally bet $50. Maybe you planned to fold but got caught up in the moment and called. Response, focus on discipline and emotional control. These are often psychological issues rather than strategic ones. Type 2, knowledge failure. You executed your plan correctly, but your plan was wrong. You made the decision you intended to make, but it was based on incorrect understanding of the situation. Response, study and education. You need to update your strategic understanding. Type 3, information failure. You made the correct decision based on the information available, but you lacked crucial information that would have changed your decision. Response, acceptance and information gathering improvement. Sometimes correct decisions have bad outcomes. The feedback loop optimization. Elite performers in any field have superior feedback loops. They get better information faster and use it more effectively. In poker, most players have broken feedback loops. Broken feedback loops, delayed feedback, only reviewing hands days later when memory is fuzzy. Selective feedback, only reviewing dramatic wins and losses. Emotional feedback, letting feelings determine what to study. Isolated feedback, studying hands in isolation without considering overall strategy. Optimized feedback loops, immediate feedback, quick notes during play, detailed review immediately after. Comprehensive feedback, systematic review of all significant decisions. Objective feedback, focus on process regardless of emotional impact. Integrated feedback, consider how individual decisions fit into overall strategy. The narrative trap, stories versus statistics. Humans are storytelling creatures. We naturally create narratives to explain random events. In poker, this creates systematic biases that hurt our decision-making. Common narrative traps, the hot streak story, I'm running good, so I should play more hands. Reality, recent results don't predict future results. The do story, I haven't won a flip in hours, so I'm due. Reality, each flip is independent of previous flips. The villain story, this opponent always gets lucky against me. Reality, you're probably remembering dramatic hands more than routine ones. The skill story, I must be playing bad because I'm losing. Reality, short-term results are mostly variance. Story antidotes, data collection, keep detailed records that show long-term patterns. Statistical education, study probability to understand what's normal, meditation practice, develop awareness of when you're creating stories, review process, regularly examine your beliefs against evidence, the decision tree methodology. Elite decision making requires systematic thinking. Decision trees help you consider all possibilities before choosing your action. The basic decision tree process. 1. Identify the decision point. What exactly are you deciding? 2. List all possible actions. What are your options? 3. Consider opponent responses. How might they react to each action? 5. Evaluate outcomes. What happens after their responses? 5. Calculate expected values. Which path is most profitable? 6. Make the decision. Choose the highest EV option. 7. Learn from results. Update your model based on what happens. Advanced decision tree concepts. Opponent modeling. Different opponents require different trees. Information value. Consider how much your decision reveals about your hand. Future streets. Think about how current decisions affect later decisions. Range versus range. Consider your entire range versus their entire range. The improvement paradox. The better you get at poker, the slower your improvement becomes. This creates a psychological challenge. As you advance, progress becomes less visible and less rewarding. The improvement curve. Beginner, rapid improvement from fixing major leaks. Intermediate, steady improvement from strategic understanding. Advanced, slow improvement from marginal optimizations. Expert, minimal improvement from tiny edge increases. Staying motivated through plateaus. Process metrics, track decision quality, not just results. Micro improvements, celebrate small optimizations. Teaching others, reinforce your knowledge by helping others. Challenge seeking, find new games or stakes to create learning opportunities. Long-term perspective, remember that expertise takes years to develop. The professional mindset. The difference between a poker player and a poker professional isn't just about making money from poker. It's about approaching poker with professional standards and processes. Professional standards, consistency, same high standards every session. Preparation, study, warm-up, and mental preparation before playing. Record-keeping, detailed tracking of results and decisions. Continuous learning, regular study and skill development. Risk management, proper bankroll management and game selection. Emotional regulation, consistent performance regardless of results. Amateur patterns, inconsistency, great play sometimes, terrible play other times. Impulse, jump into games without preparation. Memory-based, rely on general impressions instead of data. Static learning, study only when results are bad. Risk ignorance, play higher than bankroll supports. Emotional volatility, performance varies with mood and results. The metagame of process. Advanced players understand that process optimization is itself a metagame. Your approach to improving your process becomes a competitive advantage. Process metagame elements, learning speed, how quickly you adapt to new information. Error recognition, how fast you identify your mistakes. Implementation, how effectively you apply new concepts. Retention, how well you remember and apply lessons over time. Innovation, your ability to develop new approaches and insights. The ultimate edge isn't just having good process, it's having better process improvement than your opponents. The bottom line, data beats drama. Every hand you play generates data. Every decision creates information. Every outcome provides feedback. The players who treat this data scientifically will outperform the players who treat it dramatically. Results are what happened. Process is what you controlled. Focusing on what you can control, your decision-making process, gives you power over your poker career. Focusing on what you can't control, short-term results, makes you a victim of variance. In the next chapter, we'll dive deep into the specific psychological patterns that cause players to abandon good process when the pressure gets high. We'll examine how fear, ego, and the need for immediate gratification create the cognitive distortions that separate winning players from losing players. Because the ultimate truth is this: poker rewards good decision-making over time, not good results in the short term. Your ability to stay focused on process when results are screaming at you to change, that's what separates the professionals from everyone else.